My name is Brett Baker. I'm 71 years old. Today is Monday, December 13th, 2021. I'm having this conversation at my house in Northeast Oklahoma, right on Grand Lake. And Al's my conversation partner.
Cool. My name is Al Saloha, and I am 43 years old. Today's date is December 13th, 2021, on a Monday. And I'm in Stillwater, Oklahoma. We're having this conversation virtually. And Brett is my conversation partner for One Small Step. So I guess the first question is, what made you want to do this conversation today, Brett?
Well, as I said in my bio, my wife and I just always look out for opportunities to have conversations with interesting people. Of course, I didn't know who I was going to have a conversation with, but it sounded like an interesting process. Plus, mm-hmm. I have been really frustrated over the last couple of years trying to have political conversations with really good friends that I just mm-hmm. haven't been able to do that successfully. And I was hoping maybe this process would give me some clues about how to do that with some people that I really value that we haven't been able to have those conversations. So, so what made you want to do this today, Al?
Well, for me, it was essentially when I saw One Small Step, it's about the concept. I mean, the whole idea of bridging a divide, it's always been something that I've tried to strive towards, any kind of an action that would get us in more conversations, with people who are maybe not of the same belief system or kind of political views is an important thing to have on, in general. It's just one of those things where the only way to solve things is to be able to communicate, in some kind of an effective manner, So I saw this just by chance. I wasn't going to be able to, they had one, an event, and I wasn't going to be able to make it, but that they, Kately was actually good enough to reach out and send me a recording of it. And then I was like, well, let me take it one step further. Do you have this program available still? Can I be part of it? And that's how it just happened, really. Then she said, yeah, we might. And then I was just crossing my fingers saying, hey, maybe I might get matched up with someone, maybe not. But then here we go. I'm here matched up with you, Brett.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So I think the next thing here is where I read your bio, I believe. Okay. So let me read your bio, Brett. It says, currently I'm more retired than not after a career as a business financial consultant and executive. My wife and I have been married for 35 years with a daughter, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. We love to travel here in the U.S. and abroad. I read a lot, always have, newspapers and books, and listen to many of the talk programs on our NPR station, KOSU. We have always sought out interesting people to meet and interact with, often inviting virtual strangers to our house for dinner. So what, Brett's bio, would you like to know more about? Well, okay. I find it interesting on many scales here. It's just like, it sounds like you've had a full life, Brett, but, and that kind of warms my heart in a way. I'm glad you have a very big family there. That's one thing I'm not there yet. I'm actually unmarried. That's one thing I was going to ask about that. But it says you like to travel. And I was just curious, where in the U.S. and abroad have you traveled? That's one part of the question. And then I guess the other one, would be the virtual strangers inviting to dinner part, which is interesting. I find that kind of, okay. I'm curious about these things. So go ahead.
Traveling in the United States, We've gone to California a lot because we had relatives there. We've traveled around an awful lot of other places, oftentimes related to wine, because my wife and I like wine. So we've spent a lot of time in the California wine country and also up in Oregon and Washington. Her sister lives up in Washington, so we've gone up there, the Northwest. We really like that exceptionally well. I've actually been to most of the states, but and then as far as abroad, we've gone to Western Europe quite a bit, initially because my dad was in World War II, and we went on a trip with him that was a veterans trip, but then we just kept going back. We've been to France several times. In fact, most recently, we spent last month in France. We spent a week up in the northeastern part of France, and then 3 weeks, we have an apartment that we've been able to rent a couple of times in a city called Beaune that's in, again, the wine country, the Burgundy wine country of southeastern France. Okay. Like I said, most of the, or many of the Western European countries, Belgium, Luxembourg, Spain, Italy, we've been to Corsica, we've been to Portugal twice. And then outside of Europe, we've been to Cuba and China. And years ago, I went to the Philippines and Thailand. So, you know, quite a broad, and we just thoroughly enjoy traveling. We just absolutely enjoy it. The second part of your question about virtual strangers, I think the best illustration of that, this was several years ago, but my wife was flying back from California, and it was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. She got in real late at night, and just before she went to bed, she said, "Oh, by the way, I sat next to a guy from Australia that on the airplane, and he might be coming to dinner."
Oh, wow.
For Thanksgiving dinner. And the next morning, when she was at the grocery store buying our turkey, I get this call, and you know, he asked for Marcia with an unusual accent, and I said she wasn't here, but she'd be back shortly. And I said, "Let me guess, she was sitting next to you on the plane, and she invited you to Thanksgiving dinner." He said, "Yes, and I'm coming." So, you know, that's pretty much. We do that.
You do that.
In fact, just another real quick story. When we were in Strasbourg, Marcia went to do laundry at a laundromat, had a little difficulty doing it. There was a young man there, and he helped her. And thank goodness for the Google Translate app, because it turned out he was from Iraq, and he'd been a political refugee, gone to Germany, and then from Germany, French officials had come and said, "We'll take 200 refugees." So he had moved to France. He spoke more French than we did. But with a Google app, she invited him. Now, it wasn't in our home, but it was at the hotel that we were staying at. She invited him to join us for lunch. So, like I say, we aren't shy about inviting people and getting to meet people.
Interesting. I mean, especially that last part, because I mean, myself being a naturalized refugee in itself. So, and I actually do speak a little French, so hey. Yeah. And I have been. That's pretty cool.
I mean, so do I need to read your, or did you have some more questions? Go ahead. I mean,
I think whenever you're ready, I guess. For me, it's just, I find what you said very interesting. It's just like, I would love, I mean, I've been quite a, like the traveling part is pretty interesting. It's something we could definitely connect on. So, but I think it's interesting. We connect on that. I'll tell you that much. So,
okay.
But, yeah. There's more to that, of course.
Okay, I'm going to ask you in just a minute so we get your bio read, okay?
Yeah, you go for that. I think that's okay.
My name is Al, and I'm a Palestinian-American. I'm a foreign refugee born in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, before the city expanded. I was raised in New York and New Jersey early in life until my family naturalized. I now live in the place I consider home, Stillwater, Oklahoma. If you follow all the pit stops, guess that makes me a refugee, Emirati, Yankee, Okie. It gives me a unique perspective on America and the whole world. I'm 43 years old, and I've worked many fields throughout life and now work online in stocks. And so I do, you know, my question is, how'd you get in Stillwater? And then secondly, I'd like to follow up what you said about you thought we had a lot in common as far as our travels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I kind of left a little bit of a gap there, didn't I? Stillwater, Oklahoma. How'd that happen from New York to Stillwater? Wait, hold on. Scratch head. I get it. So after we naturalized, Dad, God rest his soul, pretty much decided that he's a former doctor, and so he decided to, like, it was during the AIDS epidemic and everything, and he didn't want to have to deal with that. Plus, my sister, who was older than me, was getting mouthy, and he's like, okay, we're going to another country, like an Arabic country or Islamic country. We're going back to UAE where you were born, and we're gonna be. God rest his soul. It's the best decision, because I was raised in, after about 6 years old, six or seven, we moved back to the UAE, to not to Dubai, but to the sister city, Sharjah, which is the more cultural, you could say the cultural capital in a way, you know, of UAE. It's where the authentic UAE is more there. And it's like, you're not even talking about a 3 mile stretch between the two. it's nothing. I mean, they're virtually one city nearly, or one emirate, I guess, but you know, they're two emirates really rather than cities. But I lived there for about up until my first year of college. There was a rinky dink college or community. Yes, rinky dink is part of my language now. I am Oklahoman. It was a rinky dink, pretty much, community college called Sharjah College. And lo and behold, it's affiliated. Well, it wasn't affiliated, but I could actually transfer credits from there to OSU. Oh, look at that. So, and also my brother and my future brother-in-law, he wasn't my brother-in-law there, but my sister's high school sweetheart went there. So she's like, we should go to OSU. So of course I'm dragged in, but it also has my major at that time. But you know, that just changed because I was trying to follow in my brother-in-law's footsteps. Put that aside. I went in a different direction, but we went to Stillwater, and somehow I just kind of stayed for about 25 years. I don't know. it's Stillwater has become home. It's Oklahoma. Yeah, for a reason. I have a lot of roots here, and that's why I stayed. That's how I came here, but that's also why I stayed. I mean, I do consider myself like a refugee Yankee Okie. Maybe not the Emirati part as much, because they don't identify me, but that's its own thing. I think your second part was, what was the question again on that?
Well, you had said that we had things in common about travel.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and speaking of refugee, being a refugee means you're going to be traveling and bouncing around a lot, which was apparent in some of the beginning of like my bio and everything. Both my parents are Palestinian. They were born there, one being born in Yaffa, the other born in Gaza, after they had to move, their families had to move. So, but I, you know, to create a more better life, they went to the UAE and other areas just to kind of, you know, to give us a better life, obviously. And so that started the travel, because my father worked and lived in Liverpool before I was born. It's one of the reasons why I'm like a big Liverpool fan. You'll see that scarf above me that says "You'll never walk alone." That it has more meaning than that, but that's the motto for my soccer club that I love so much, because my dad did. But Liverpool, he went to Cyprus, he went to he did the traveling, and I just whenever I came about more than a, you know, I'm a gleam in somebody's eye, you know, then that's when I tagged along. We went to the UAE, Egypt. UAE was where we stayed a while. Then we went to New York and New Jersey once to try to, you know, obviously that began the whole process of trying to, you know, become American. Or because my uncle was here and he helped, and then my brother was born here and other stuff, and we bounced around a lot and in that process I just did a lot of travel, I guess, you know, I mean, we went through some of the European countries, you know, from US to Europe to UAE and then back, and so there was quite a bit of travel. And then the other part is, like, while I was here based in Stillwater, I worked for a car exporter who would bring cars from every different state. And so, hold on 1 second. Sorry. I think I got to do a little bit of traveling here and there. So that was pretty much the other part of it. So, I mean, that's at least my part on the traveling. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's how we connect on that.
Hey, Al, did you need to reconnect your laptop or?
Yeah, let me. Yeah, it just kind of hibernated on me. Give me 1 second. Okay. I don't know why I did that.
While that's happening, something that I'm curious actually from both of you, since you both have traveled so much in your life, what's like a lesson you've learned from the places you've been about humanity, really? I know that's a big question, but
I've got a really quick answer. That no matter where you are in the world, there are more similarities than there are differences with the people. There may be vast differences in the political system and the military and all that, but people, I mean, doesn't matter whether it's China or Cuba or in Western Europe, just like you were talking about, Al, they want a better life for their kids. They want a better life for themselves too, obviously, and their family is important to them, and they are nearly always loyal to their government, usually willing to say what the bad things are about their government too. So I'd like to say more similarities and differences.
Yeah, I tend to agree on that. Give me 1 second. Let me move one other thing. I don't know if there's an echo.
I don't either.
All right.
I'm hearing an echo.
Essentially, for me, I feel like that, and I am hearing an echo for some reason, but let me do one thing. Sorry. Oh, are you hearing an echo? I'm hearing an echo. From on my end, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, for me, I think the main thing was that I feel like during my travel, I just get to know a lot more culture by immersing in a way. You know, I mean, you get to know what people are like. I mean, you have the good and the bad in every place. However, you see more good than bad, mostly. I mean, that's what I notice with my travels, at least. It can be hard sometimes. But most of it has been eye-opening. You know, you always learn something. There's nothing there's not a better way to learn than to travel and immerse yourself That's what I've learned.
Very true.
Yeah.
I put the third kickoff question in the chat when y'all are ready. For everybody, if you're hearing an echo, because Matt's telling me he's hearing an echo, just...
I'm asking this first, then. So, Brett, who would you say has been the most influential person in your life, and what did they teach you?
Well, that's a hard one, and in fact, I woke up a little bit last night trying to think of the right answer to this. I can't come up with a single one. I've got three. I mean, my wife probably has the most influence because I spent the most time with her. But what I get from her is her passionate enthusiasm, just like I was saying about inviting the Australian. I mean, that just happens all the time. And my life is so much better for it. But it goes beyond that. I mean, it's even to the extent of when we're doing things, we end up doing one more thing probably than we should, but I think our life is richer for it because she always has the enthusiasm to do the one more thing. And then almost as big, probably as big in early years, was my father. And I mean, he was just an amazing man. But the things I got from him the most, I think, were consistency and persistence. He spent his whole life in Webb City, Missouri, except for the 2 years he was out, in World War II. But and throughout that, I mean, he worked hard at his business. He was a CPA. He worked hard on the community, but just consistently. Maybe not the same things, but I mean, he was on the school board. He was mayor. He was involved with the regional planning commission. I mean, he just did an awful lot, and he probably did more behind the scenes than he did being in front. He was one of those. In fact, he gave me a sign just before he died that says something to the effect of, there are those who do the work and those who want the credit. Be in that former group because it's a lot less crowded. Doing things that you may or may not get credit, you may not get visibility for. He was always the guy that was doing that. So that's what I got from him. And then the other influence are my daughter, my grandkids, my great grandkids. From the standpoint, when I try to teach them something or share my values with them, I realize that by teaching or sharing, I end up getting more out of it than they do. Of course, a lot of times they don't even pay attention, but it helps me understand myself, my thoughts, and my values better when I'm trying to tell somebody else. So that influences how I really think. It's one thing to articulate it kind of to a stranger, but when you're articulating it to somebody that you're really trying to get the point across, sometimes your understanding of it changes. So that influences me a lot, or at least I hope it does. Wow. So what about you? Who's been the most influential person in your life, and what did they teach you?
Well, I think that, is, again, like you said, it's a hard question to answer. But the first person that, when I heard that question or when I read it, I mean, it immediately went to my father. God rest his soul. He only died like a couple of years back, so it gets me kind of emotional anytime I remember him, of course. So don't mind if I...
I understand.
So now, yeah. Thank you, I know. And because of the fact that he's been so influential and taught me so much, it's only after the fact, of course, you kind of put it into the perspective, But yeah, it was my father, persistence and, inconsistency kind of things, like what you said, but my dad was great. If you ever if you needed a definition for Oklahoma grit, he was Palestinian grit, but he defined for me what grit is, because he would grit it out. He just did what he had to. Was humble. Was hardworking. He was very human. Was for me larger than life, and yet so quiet. And it's just very efficient with his words. Very politically aware, yet never got involved in the power structure. He taught me to be a man that I want to be. And if I was even a quarter of the man that he was, then I'm successful. Because for me, he was an epitome of what manhood should be. Or a human should be, honestly. Put that, you know, gender aside, he was a wonderful human being. And I learned how, not idealism, but what altruism could be in a way, which is, it's like a very vague term nowadays. It doesn't, you can't touch on it, but I don't know. I'm seeing a little note here, sorry.
Mute anonymous user 9 by clicking that little thing if it's bothering you.
I do have an echo.
So on anonymous user 9, just like cross through the little speaker. I thought whenever I did it that it would do it for everybody, but I suppose not.
I don't have a method to mute anonymous user 9 because it's on. That's the only one I can't mute.
If you go on that laptop, you know, you can just mute the microphone on there.
Maybe
if you just
is the move. Volume on your computer turned all the way down? Sorry to disrupt.
No, it's
yeah, if you just hit the blue your mic button on your laptop. That should turn off the mic on your laptop. And
oh, there you are, Matt. I can hear you, Matt.
I can't see anything that says mic online, unfortunately. Can I maybe take the laptop off and then back on or something, maybe?
Yeah, are you able to see the chat just on your phone? Because we might just, if you click on your phone, are you able to access the chat?
But the screen is completely different. I mean, it's just like, I can't even see red at all. I only see, have this part of it, half. And
I'm going to, while we're figuring this out, I'm going to stop the recording, guys.
Okay. Yeah. End of that, but I could just wrap it up. I mean, if you need.
Yeah. So we're recording. So Brett, if you have any, I am curious that since both of you are, have been your fathers, and you've mentioned a couple characteristics, both of you about your fathers, but what's the thing that you would like to emulate from your fathers the most, I suppose, moving if you've done it in your life or how you live your life.
Right.
Well, I can, from my standpoint, I mean, I feel a lot like Al. I never got, I don't think I've gotten my life to 75% of what my dad did, but I'm not going to reach that now, but I mean, he just, like I said, he was persistent and consistent about the things that he valued, and he worked towards them all of his life. And I didn't do that as well, solidifying my values and really working towards them. He figured it out early and lived his life accordingly. I'm getting it figured out now, but like I said, I've My goal is to get to 75%. I don't think I'm going to get there, but I'll be happy.
I got you. I think the key word here is emulate, that Kate Lee. I like that word because we're never going to imitate our fathers or anyone. We're going to be only a representation of ourselves. And we just take parts and improve on it. And that's what our fathers would want, to go to a different level. And that's the way I understand emulate. You take what they give you and they teach you and actually improve upon it. And I don't know if I could ever properly do that, obviously. I mean, I feel the same way. I've had a person from my mosque who knew my father, and he's like, "You're not even one third of your father." It's like, wow, that's a nice comment. But even if I was one third of my father, that's an achievement, you know. It is such a big thing for me to even be compared that way. So I mean, I think if I take anything though from that, what I want to achieve, I guess, like what my father did or even emulate, is he had a moral code that was unshakable sometimes. It just it didn't matter if it hurt him in the end. But it was for the greater good, not only for his family, but for people around him. And he wouldn't force his opinion upon you. That's another thing that, you know, he would ask, "Would you like my opinion?" And if you didn't want it, he'll be, "That's fine." And if he did, then he'll give you the advice. 99 times out of 100, it'd be right. And if it wasn't, then he's going to be like, "Well, I will rub the salt. I did tell you." So he's one of those. I wish I could get to that kind of wisdom where how he knew so much. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but I'll have my own path to get there. So that's probably what I'd want from, you know.
Okay, and that last kickoff question before you guys can freely roam through whatever topics you're curious about.
Okay, so I guess I go first on that one. So Brett, could you briefly describe in your own words your personal political values?
Yes, I think I can. The one thing I didn't mention probably about my dad, he was a lifelong Republican. In fact, my older brother's middle name is Dwight. He was born in 1952 when Dwight Eisenhower was elected. So that gives you some idea. And I was a Republican up until, 2013, 14, in that range. And it just seemed that at that time I thought my values had changed. I realized some of my values had changed, but it seemed to me that the Republican Party's values had changed too. And where I am right now, on healthcare, I am it's just totally unacceptable to me that the United States has the most expensive healthcare in the world and not anywhere close to the best. And if a single payer system gets us there or something else, we just need to do something differently, because what we're doing is not only costly, but even in my own family, I see that a lot of people just sometimes don't have access to healthcare that need it. And on immigration, I'm a big believer in immigration on moral grounds and on pure economic grounds. We need that diversity. We need the people. We need their wisdom. The stimulus payments that were made, I mean, that's, I guess, another distinguishing thing. 2008, I thought we didn't do enough. 2020 and 21, I think we did a little bit too much, but I'm glad we did. I mean, obviously, that's part of what's fueling the economy, maybe fueling it a little too much. But I think that's an important role of government to get in and do stimulus when there's an economic upheaval. On the environment, I am I'm very much an environmentalist, I guess you'd say, but I did and still do. I mean, the EPA at times goes too far in the way it does it. I would much rather see some moderation there, but certainly I don't want to abandon it because I just think it's important to protect our environment. Voting rights, I'm concerned about what's happening on voting rights. I think we ought to be expanding voting. I mean, the state of Washington is just really interesting. I mean, they do it all by mail, and they have way higher voter participation than most of the other states. So, and climate, I believe that climate change is happening. I believe we need to be doing a lot more about it. And I guess most overriding is what you said about your father and about my father. They were focused on doing things for the greater good. And I don't see that in our politicians. They are not, hardly any of them are focused on doing things for the greater good of the country. It is always about the political equation. And that just drives me crazy. So that's kind of where I am politically.
I totally understand that. I get that.
So what about you, Al? Where are you? Can you, in your own words, describe your personal political values?
See, and it's interesting on that. I tried to come up with an answer. I even asked yesterday when that came up, and I don't really have an answer for what I am. I mean, there's not a label or I'm a sticker on something, because I think I've always been a hybrid independent because I have some conservative views and some liberal views.
Okay.
Even independent, it's like I don't think I ascribe to a party. Let's just put it that way. Because I do have some agreement with some of the conservative views on the Republican side. However, I also have a lot of views on the Democratic side, on the liberal side. I don't agree fully with the Democratic side. I don't agree fully with the Republican side. So it just puts me nearly smack dab in the middle. So that's why I call myself a hybrid independent, because I don't even want to be labeled as just this one thing. I'm just a person with an opinion who has the right to say what I say, because I'm an American, and that's all. It's never more than that. It's my God-given right as an American, and it's God-given right to everyone. Well, I don't know about God-given, but it is our constitutional right to be able to voice. And part of that is being able to find out what that voice means and who, what the voices, like what, that sounds weird. It's like what the voices are. Oh, the voices in my head. No, the voices of the people. I mean, I'll kind of touch on some of what you were saying too, because I wrote down some of what you said, the healthcare, the immigration stimulus, environment, climate, and voting rights and greater good. Healthcare is, I think, a stick point, of course, for a lot of people. You know, you have the divide on whether to put it, you know, make it affordable or make it within the state and everything like that. But it's one of those things that affects me directly, because I'll be the first to admit it. I'm in probably the pauper status right now. Pretty much just, yeah, healthcare is hard for me, but I'm lucky enough that there are solutions for me on that end. I was lucky enough where, you know, politics actually worked in my favor here in Oklahoma. And then also prior to that, we have something in Stillwater that helped, you know, the medical center actually were kind enough to be helpful on that. However, that's just me. I can't explain everybody else, like the millions here. And healthcare is just like, imagine the Norwegian countries where healthcare is free, or Canada, for example, or Britain. Healthcare is free. You're not a dollar sign. And I've experienced that recently with just going to, like, because of I have a knee issue. And I was made to feel like I was a dollar sign in that visit. And it was unfair. Mm-hmm. Immigration. I'm not going to touch that one with a stick, because you already know I'm a refugee. Of course, if you don't bring in people like me, I don't know if I add value. But whatever I do add is part of the puzzle that makes us a greater
America. No question.
It's the STEM, you know, like the whole STEM system, like the scientists, technology, engineering, mathematics, people who have that value, or anything, anyone who adds to the value of America, why not? You can't have this like rigid, love it or leave it kind of mentality. You have to be able to allow people to express their opinions, you know, and bring in people, or and not have like this border wall. I'll be the first to say that. It's unfair. That's not what America was about. It was about bringing in your wretched, your tired, your poor. Remember that little person holding that lamp? That's what we're about. On the stimulus, that helped me. That helped me quite a bit. And that's why I'm in stocks anyway right now. So it's like, hey, it's the only reason why. Environment and climate, I'm kind of just like, I don't know what to think anymore. It's there's two extremes, obviously, where it's like, oh, there's nothing. Oh my God, the world's ending. You know, like, I don't know where I'm at there. I see that there's a problem, definite. It's definite. It's without a doubt. And we're not helping the situation. And the U.S. needs to do more to be a shining example to everyone, because we are still the example more than, and this is not to dig on any country, but we are still the shining example more than China is. Let's put it that way. Voting rights. Oh God. I'll say the word, you know, like the way things are, it's ridiculous in a way. It's why, I forget. The name just left me. Lewis. I can't, the one who recently died.
John Lewis. Yeah.
Yes. John Lewis. It's what he spent his whole life about, and the one thing that comes to mind is like things like gerrymandering. It's like why, or you know, those are the things, because it seems like the divide has made us invisible. Okay, we're on 10 away from the greater good. So it's just, yeah, I don't know. Not a sticker is a good quote. Okay. That's interesting. I was just reading what was
it? Yes.
I'm curious, what does it being American mean to both of you? Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, being American to me is having the opportunity and allowing the opportunity for others. I mean, we're obviously totally in sync on immigration, but I admire people like you that come here to go to school. We have some interaction with international students at Missouri Southern in Joplin. And, you know, I'm just amazed the students that come here. I mean, our kids wouldn't have gone to college without a car, probably. People come here. I mean, that's what being American is providing opportunity for people that want to do that. And whether they come from Oklahoma or United Arab Emirates, that's what I think being American is being American is encouraging that kind of those people. And there's an awful lot of them around the world. And I think we ought to take as many of them as we can.
I hear you. As far as for me, I don't know what being American truly means as much as I thought. Sometimes I find it a little divided just because I'm a naturalized citizen. Sometimes, you know, like, you know, you have this ideal notion, obviously. And yet you see the different notion, of course, on the other side of where, you know, things are not quite right, you know. It's like the difference and of course these are the extremes, the difference between the American dream and the American nightmare. But I still have this hope. I mean, it's why, you know, before I got sick, was why I wanted to give back, why I wanted to get into to serve the community somehow. By serving my country, I was actually going to go into the Air Force until my dad got sick. But that's just why, that's how, what I think being an American is. It's just like, you serve them, they serve you, and we are collectively better for that, and it's always about the greater good, this ideal, this beacon, this untouchable hope, you know, that we're together and we're united, because well, no matter what we state, we're still America. So yeah, I played on the words, United States, America, hey. And that we pretty much, you know, we never walk alone. It pretty much is something we walk together regardless of our differences. It's what brings us together is what makes us stronger. The fact that we're different, but we are the same is what being an American is for me. It's a melting pot. It's always been, not even, it's a salad. We don't always melt into each other's cultures.
That's good.
Yeah, we're more of a salad in a way. Because, yeah, we might not melt together, but we bring flavor to the salad, you know.
Now that's a great description. That's great. So I'm having a hard time figuring out where we're different. Well, except maybe perhaps where you're born and a few of those things, but I'm just having a hard time finding out where we're different. Can you see anything where we are?
Just the only thing I'm seeing is that you're just further along on the trail than I am a little. That's about it. That's the only thing. I mean, that's the difference. One thing. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. This thing. But other than that, I mean, it seems like we're very similar more than it is anything else.
I think so.
It's like, am I who you expected me to be, though?
Well,
did I say anything that surprised? You know,
I didn't know. Crazy. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, obviously the Palestinian American naturalized. I thought there was more to it, but I didn't know what that meant. So I didn't really have an expectation.
Right.
I didn't have a picture. I just had a blank that I wanted to fill in. But I really didn't have a picture.
Okay. Well, that's about it. That's the scarf. That's that's all. Okay. But did you learn anything new today, I guess? I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure new, but
okay.
It sure is encouraging and I don't know. It's a good conversation. I just don't think we had a lot of differences. No. I guess I'm kind of glad there's another person in Oklahoma that feels pretty much like I do. Cause sometimes it feels pretty lonely here.
There's more than just me. I promise you.
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm sure there are.
Yeah. You have any questions for me?
I mean, the only other thing is I don't have the question answered that I came into it is
okay.
What I can do to talk with people to have a civil conversation about the direction we're going. So
that is an interesting one. I don't really have an answer other than the fact that you've got both sides. If you have an open mind, that's fine, but the other person has to be receptive as well to be able to have that civil discourse in a way.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not, then you have to know where the boundaries are on that, I guess. That's the only reason. It's
well, like and I did have the advantage, with your bio, I had a feeling that we had common ground on immigration, but
sure.
Some of my friends, close friends, I can't figure out what our common ground is these days that I can even start the conversation. Because when I think I've got common ground, it blows up.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I guess, am I one of those strangers you'd invite to dinner?
Yes, in fact, I was going to say, we need to figure out a way to get you up here. No, I'm serious. I'd like to hear a lot more about your travels and everything. I'm dead serious. Or maybe Marcia and I could have a road trip,
please,
toward Stillwater. If you're not able to get up here, we wouldn't be opposed to having a road trip.
Absolutely.
I'd love to, I would really like to do that.
Me too. I think okay. I would be very honored to meet you and okay. both of you actually. So.
Well, I enjoy it. So we need to figure out how we get our contact information and sure. all that so that we can do that.
I'm sure Kately can help.
Yeah. Hey, Brett, before we stop the recording, go ahead and ask Al one of these closing questions. Go ahead and stop the recording.
Were you nervous coming into the conversation?
Surprisingly, a little bit at first. I wasn't. And then it kind of just dawned on me that it could go a different route. But it didn't. And this felt really good. It felt I don't know what to say, but any kind of defense mechanisms or anything like that were completely gone. I mean, I'm just like open and you know.
Were you worried that I was going to be a real right wing conservative? No, I'm serious. Yeah.
I pretty much mentioned that like you know, since I knew it was like opposites and everything like that, I was just like saying I wasn't sure if it was going to get into this like question about politics and my religion, and it's like, are you going to ask me about you know stuff like that? Yeah, but that's I said it was okay, but let's hopefully it's not going to be just the only predominant thing. So, but that was the only thing. Otherwise,
and amazingly, we didn't even talk about religion.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. It's interesting. Yeah.
Okay.